Hallelujah. Yes, let's give God a hand. Father, with thanksgiving tonight, we gather in your precious name. We thank you for these beautiful songs that we can sing, which just build our faith and build our hearts. And one thing we want to confess is, Lord, that we believe that you have the best plan for our lives. I just want to pray tonight that your word will encourage us, that people will encounter a God who cares and who loves us so much. And no matter what we go through, and we go through so much, so many, Lord, that are listening by way of the media, people in this assembly tonight, people are not even in church tonight because of a variety of reasons, of difficulties in their lives. Father, our trust and our hope is in you. And nothing misses the all-seeing eyes of God. Help us, Lord, that our faith will increase as we hear your word tonight. That we can really walk out of this place and say, I can do this because Jesus is alive. Amen and amen. Praise God. Come, let us take our seats. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege it is once again to come together. In the name of the Lord, we just welcome all our media listeners. I just got to say it again this week. There's no such thing as a couch fellowship. And it's wonderful that people would watch the sermons on media. But if you can be in church, that's where we need to be. Because I can guarantee you, if you're not regularly coming into this corporate gathering, something is wrong in your spiritual life. Let me tell you. Amen. Yeah? Amen? Could you holier than holy oak say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So good to have you all here tonight. Amen. I'm just so excited about what God's given me to share with the church. Let me just get straight into it. Ek wil nou klomp. So let's stick to what we came here for. Amen. I want to talk to you about stress is a part of life. Amen. Stress is a part of life. I don't think anybody by way of this media that's watching us right now or any of you sitting over here do not know that stress is a real factor in our lives. Is there anybody who hasn't had stress for the last 10 years? Just put up your hands. Geez, where have you guys been? I thought you spiritual Christians. Hey, the fact is we all understand stress is a reality. Amen. And I really believe as we share this word with you tonight that God is going to say something to us. But the point of the matter is that stress is real and we all agree with it that it's real. So the question that needs to be answered now is, if it is that real and it affects our lives, and we're going to talk about that, how am I handling it? Because it's going to be good for me or bad for me. Amen. Who knows that God works out all things for the good for those that love Him and call Him by His purpose. So stress can be very good for us, and that's what we're going to show you through the Word of God as we all experience this. The guy by the name of Peter Drucker, and he says this, in every success story, you have a look at a child of God that has gone through real donkertate in his life, real bad time in his life. You watch it. You will find that someone who has made a courageous decision. For every person that has come through stuff, stressful situations in their life, you go and have a look at their lives, and what have they done? They've made a courageous decision to go through whatever they're going through in victory. You'll watch. There'll be people who have endured. There are people that have been steadfast. Was it enough for that time in your life? You know what? There's a lovely saying that I love to use. And it's an absolute fact. And it's an encouraging saying. And it's this. This too will pass. Maybe like a kidney stone. But it's going to pass. Believe me. It might not be easy when you're in it, but let me tell you something. I can say to you this, if you've been serving the Lord reasonably long in your life, if you look back on your life, God has been good to you. God has brought you through some real nach situations. Amen. We have a living testimony to know that. God is concerned about you and I, about what we go through. As I said earlier on, He's concerned about every detail of our lives. You see, we may not be a David or an Abraham or a Moses or a Joseph or a Joshua or whatever. And you know, we make so much emphasis on these characters, and it's wonderful that we do. But I want to bring a fresh light on the subject. You see, David's success is because of God. It was the God of David. It was the God of Moses. It was the God of Abraham. And I want to tell you something, whatever your name is, it's the God about your name tonight. It's the God of George that's going to help me to get through stuff. Because of the way you're going to serve Him and love Him and walk with Him every day. So I need to ask you this question. In the last, let's call it March 28th, never forget that 2 years ago, when we thought we were going to have a week lockdown, we're still walking around like bank robbers. Hey? Yes, I tell you, where's our world going? All the plot and the schemes of the enemy, let me just say this. But anyway, we won't go. That's a preach for another day. But for the last 2 years, can I ask you this? And here's a question that would need to be answered by all of us. And here's the question. Can you really say this? I've grown up a lot in my spiritual life. I'm on the way. I've learned some valuable lessons in my life. I'm teachable and I'm still learning. Can you really say that about your life? Now, I can tell you something. There's a lot of people who cannot answer to the positive of what I've just asked you today. And that could be one of the reasons why we have a lot of empty seats still. Because, I mean, really, it's not due to lack of laziness for this pastor nagging the people to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And if you are sitting watching me, remember what I've just said now, eh? Because you see, when you go through some tough stuff in your life, you will watch, when you go, and the emphasis is through it, you will always find people that have gone through tough stuff, you will always find maturity and growth in their lives. It just kind of works like that. Because these difficulties grow us when we allow them to grow us. I mean, the challenge, if you're a little bit like me, we know what the scripture says. The problem is it's the application where we suckle a bikini. Nah. We know what it says. We know what God said. And we know what we should do. But yet for that moment, that time of stress, that difficult place that we're in, we rely on our own understanding. The Bible says don't rely on your own understanding. Amen. So that is normally the problem in our life. So we look at James. Listen to what James says over here. In James 1:22, he says, but he says, be doers of the word, obey the message. You see, he had said some wonderful, powerful things before he came to verse 22, and we're going to discuss that over the next couple of weeks. But he says, be doers of the word. Don't just obey and obey the message. Don't merely be listeners to it. And listen to what he says, what will happen if we don't, if we hear the word but we don't do it. He says, you're going to betray yourself into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. You see, God wants you and I to take what we know, what the scripture says, and even though it's getting difficult and we're in the heart of terrible stress and we're going through really difficult times, God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to go into our inner room. He wants us to be filled with the scriptures. He wants us to talk the word. But you see, when we don't do that sort of thing, James says, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to betray yourself into a deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. So you look at your circumstance and you going through stress and you look at it and you say, in your heart, you think to yourself, this is impossible. How will I ever get through this? Well, I've just got good news for you. You're going to get through it. Hallelujah. It might not feel like it right now, but you're going to get through it. Say, I'm going to get through it. Amen. That's why people come along and they justify their behavior. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my circumstances. Well, I don't know your circumstances, but guess who does? That's why it says be obedient to the word. So we're going to look at five fascinating facts about stress. Beautiful, eh? Not all five of them. So James starts writing in James 1 verse 1. In verse 22 he said, be doers of the word and obey it. Now, but now he opens his letter, James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he writes this in James 1 verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he positions himself, believes in God, loves the Lord, but I'm writing to you, and he's writing to somebody. He's writing to the 12 tribes, and listen to the word, scattered abroad. Don't miss that. What does it mean when you scatter? It's like taking a bunch of seed and you it like that and you scatter it. It doesn't all lie, fall on one little whoopee. It's scattered. So he's talking to a bunch of people that were scattered. They ran for their lives, literally. That's exactly what it is. Because he says, scattered abroad, and then the Amplified says it so nicely because it bleeds onto what this is actually talking about. He says, scattered abroad among the Gentiles, the Jewish oaks that were scattered amongst unbelievers, heathens, other worshippers, and all sorts of other stuff. People that didn't like Christianity, people that wanted to take their lives. They were scattered abroad amongst all of these people, among the Gentiles in the dispersion. They were dispersed. Now, look what he says here in closing. Greetings, and that same word greetings in the Greek means rejoice. Rejoice, brothers. Now, he's writing to a bunch of oaks that's running for their lives, and he's telling them, hey, rejoice. I mean, really, if somebody comes to you and they tell you your problem, just you won't believe it, but I can't pay my rent at the end of the month, and my life's in a mess, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this or whatever, and you say to him, hey, greetings, brother, just want to rejoice, man. You look at the oak like you say, hello, did you hear what I said? Yeah. And that's how we treat it. But you see, God wants us to understand something over here. So I think, personally, stress, perhaps no other word is used as much to describe the culprit, the scapegoat, and the excuse of modern man. This word, stress. And what I do know about stress is this. It's brought problems in our homes, in our businesses, in our health. And all of that stuff is related to one thing, and that's stress. And we know that. Stress has been throughout all the ages. It's nothing new. You know, when I read Peter and also Paul writes to the church, he says, when these things happen, you don't think something strange is happening. You know what? Stress is a part of life. That's what I'm talking to you tonight. Amen. Church, it's a part of life. We need to understand that. Notice this. James is writing to the Christians who were scattered abroad as I read that scripture. He's writing to them. These Christians, they faced incredible persecution. It's so severe that we can only really read about it. We will never comprehend what the early church really went through. I can only touch on this, and the scripture's not on the overhead now, but it'll be on the media when it's prepared and done. But listen to this. In Hebrews 11, and I'm reading you from verse 36 to 38, he says, some of these Christians that were scattered abroad, that James is writing to, listen, some faced jeers, some faced flogging. They were beaten with sticks and rods and whips. They were beaten, while still others were chained and they were put in prison. And they were just left there to die. So the rats ate them, some of them. They were stoned. Whenever I say that, I've got to explain this to the biking community. Eh? It was a vrachtig klippe. It wasn't an inchy. Okay, they were stoned. They might have handled it better if they were stoned. No, but anyway. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Hulle was deur mekaar gesaag. That sounds terrible, eh? Hulle was middle deur gesaag. Can you imagine? They gripped them one end and they sawed them in half, eh? These Christians. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheep skins and goat skins. Not Louis Vuitton, eh? I honor Bruce. They were destitute. They were persecuted. They were mistreated. Please hear all of this stuff. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yes. They had to flee from their homes, their jobs, even their families. You talk about stress, hello. None of us have understood this that I'm telling you tonight. And can I tell you, the Bible says the world was not worthy of them. Because there's a greater homecoming for the child of God. We sang it tonight, that beautiful scripture. God has prepared a place, a mansion for his children one day. For the suffering that we will face here, the glory cannot be compared for the momentary suffering, Paul says in the book of Corinthians. It's absolutely wonderful. You know, I think to myself, in the many years that I've been serving the Lord, the first sign of discomfort with Christians, and you get into a little bit of inconvenience, and we can't do it now because, you know, it doesn't suit us yet. So we serve God enthusiastically, listen, when it suits us. When last did you stretch yourself to do something for somebody else that cost you something? When last were you persecuted to a place where you've had to flee for your life? Who knows? Those days might be very, very on the way. In Europe, it's big time like that already. In America, in Canada, and nogal in Australia. I wonder if the South Africans want to come back. Who's it, mana? You're welcome to come back. I tell you why we still... Yes, I tell you, this country is a miracle. Because we have no money, we have nothing, and nothing works, but South Africa exists still, eh? Yes, it does. It has to be God. I mean, it's a miracle. Eh? I think about that every day. I ask him, Lord, it's just like a E. It's honest, man. But yet, you know what? God allowed these believers, as James wrote to them, God allowed them to go through this persecution and this hardship and these difficulties. You see, God is not the author of your stress and your difficulty and your hardship, okay? But you know what he wants to do? He wants to carry you through it. Why? Because he said in this world, it's a sinful, dark world, and we're living in a world that affects us. Amen. Wherever there's a human near you, you got a problem. Okay. Some of you believe that, eh? If they stayed in Jerusalem, just listen to this, they would not have had the gospel spread at that time in one generation throughout the entire Roman Empire. And just go look how big that is. It's basically the Europe of today. In one generation, because of the persecution and the stress and the hardships, they were forced out to go and carry this incredible message. That's where Paul wrote to the Galatian church, to the Thessalonical church, to Ephesus and to Philippi, and Paul wrote to the church, and Peter wrote to the churches, and James wrote to those churches. All these messages, and how this message was carried so powerfully along while people were going through incredible stuff. James was writing to people who were facing trials and hardships and fears in their lives, and he was trying to encourage them. That's what he was really trying to do. And so God allows this letter in this Bible to be written so that you and I can sit in the comfort of our homes, and not in a cave in a hole, but in the comfort of your house, and you can sit there and read it when you feel up to reading your Bible. You know? We've got 6 Bibles in our house, and some of us don't even use one of them. Of course, not you guys. I'm actually listening to the thing here. Amen. This is what Romans 15:4 says. For everything that is written in the past was written to teach us something. Everything that was written to teach us. We got the Bible. It's written to teach us. For what? So that through endurance, say with me, endurance. It's good that we hear that word for a bit. Endurance and encouragement. We get endurance and encouragement from where? From the scriptures, that we might have what? Hope. So he's saying, we read the word, we know what the word says, I take that word by faith, although it's going nach and I'm in stress, I am now enduring whatever I'm going through, and I'm seeking God and his assistance, his help, I'm hearing his voice, I'm spending time with him, and also I read it and I see I have the victory because he says I have the victory, so I draw encouragement from the scripture and I can walk around with a smile on my face. Why? Because Jesus is going to get me through what I'm going through. Amen. So what he's saying over here, James is here instructing us how to deal with stress. The word of James that was written long before thousands of clever, slim mind manners started writing books about stress. On every rack in every bookshop, you can go buy a book on stress today. Long before that, old James had already given us a couple of very good answers if we'll just read them. 66 books in this little thing called the Bible as the answer to every situation in your life. Amen? It's a fact of life. Listen, stress is often the way when it comes that God is telling us that our lives are out of balance. Isn't that so? Our lives are out of balance. God's telling us something. In fact, James was teaching that stress is a warning signal that can be one of the greatest life's tools to live a joyful, victorious life. Let me just say this. When you're going through difficulty, when you're going through stress as a part of life, and we all agreed right from this sermon tonight, we all said that we have stress. And so what is he actually saying here to us? It's one of the greatest tools for joy and a victorious life. When you're going through difficulty, you can actually smile because you know what's going to do. It's going to grow you spiritually, and you're going to come out victorious, and you're going to come out stronger, and you're going to be used mightily for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't have wimps in his kingdom. He's got warriors. Nisusa na warini, but a warrior. Amen. He wants to do that for us. Praise be to God. Learning to effectively deal with the high anxiety when it comes, it will result, when you deal with it, it'll result in a longer, happier, and a healthier life when you can handle it. Because let's face it, stress can be debilitating. People end up in the ICU and they think their heart is giving in. My heart verlaat my. You got this clopping in your boss, and you get there and they gooi all those little numbers on you. And the doctor says, no, bro, you ain't got a heart attack. You just got a little tiny thing called stress. Because we get so worked up. We're living in a society. We spend so much time listening to another voice instead of listening to the voice. And we seek his peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be delving more and more into that. We will see how relevant this word of James is to us in the 22nd century. We'll see how God's word is going to speak to us. His initial paragraphs of his letter, James, as he begins to write it, he reveals these fascinating facts about stress and how we should handle them. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm just going to give you a prelude to what's coming, that you can look forward to it. It's the trailer of the next few weeks, is what I want to talk to you about stress, the five fascinating facts about stress. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at these. The first one we're going to look at next week, and we start off with next week. This is number one, stress is predictable. Amen. Stress, in other words, is te verwachte. Hello. We all agree that stress is real. Amen. We all know stress happens. And we all know this. Stress is not going to go away. Amen. It's going to be part of our lives. You see, if you're somebody living and you're under stress all the time, and you think, why is this happening to me? What are you actually saying? It must happen to everybody else and you must have nothing. Is that what you say? That's selfish. You see, we're all going to have a measure and a level of stress in our lives. The fact is, it is predictable. And when you can predict it, then you know, listen, there's an answer through God to overcome it. Amen? So, stress is predictable and we're going to look at that next week. Secondly, what we're going to look at is stress is problematic. Hello. You think, oh, well, I know that. We won't come to that one. No, no. Just problematis. The fact is this. If we don't deal with stress, it can be detrimental and destructive to your health, your home, your happiness, and even your hope. That's why we've got to deal with this. Stress can be problematic. There's some people that are maybe sitting over here that stress has caused you to even fall into a place of a bit of depression. And I'm not making light of that stuff, because that's a groot gat to be in, let me tell you. And I pray for those people that Satan will take his hands off. Because that's what I love about Isaiah 60 verse 1 in the Amplified Bible says. It says, arise from your prostration and your depression that circumstances have kept you. The Amplified says that. Your prostration has nothing to do with when the doctors check the money out. Prostration means lying flat, pop, kani meni, vali meni. He says, rise from that and the depression the circumstances have kept you in. He says, rise, shine. Why? For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, there is the reality. But I've got to start living in that reality. Otherwise, it's just something I hear, yeah. But the enemy will keep me oppressed or even depressed. So it is problematic. Number three, stress. Dis 'n mooi Engelse woord, paradoxical. Die Afrikaanse weergawe van paradoxical is paradokies. Nee, dis nie daai. Just thought I'll throw that in for free. No, it's not that. Teenstrydig is daai mooi woord. Stress is teenstrydig. What I mean by teenstrydig? Here's a good example. Save money by spending it. Dis teenstrydig, né? And here's another one. If I know one thing, it's I know nothing. That's paradoxical. Now that's exactly this thing about stress. James 1 verse 2, listen how paradoxical, and we're going to read this in a few minutes. He says this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Count it joy. I mean, that's paradoxical, man. And I will say this when we do it, but for us in our lives, count it all joy when it goes good, nah? Not when it goes nah. It sounds paradoxical, but let me tell you something. We'll learn so much from that. And then the next one is number four. Stress is purposeful. Dis doelgerig. God will work out the best for our lives. You need to understand that. Some of us go through the furnace of fire and we come out like a refined gold. And that's what God wants to do with us. You're going through some tough stuff. Well, let me tell you, you might be in the refining fire now. I love that passage there in, I think it's somewhere. Zephaniah, Hezekiah, one. Where? The one, Zephaniah, could be, no, one of them. But he just missed where they go down to the guy, the coppersmith, and he's busy boiling the silver. And he checks the silver over there. And God says, look at that. And he goes to look until he sees his reflection. And he says to the guy, but how do you do this? He says, you know what? When you look in it, you see nothing because it's brown and dirty. And then as he takes off all the chachas, eventually, when is it ready, the silver? When he can see a clear reflection of him. You see, that is what God's doing with our lives. Removing everything from us that don't look like Jesus. And sometimes stress is a wonderful thing because that's what happens. It is purposeful. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21 says this, in a large house there are articles not of gold, not only of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, your everyday stuff. Some are for noble purposes and others for ignoble purposes. And then listen what he says here. He says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, okay, he says, then he will be an instrument of noble purposes. How? He will be made wholly useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. Let me just say this. Stress, my friend, is purposeful. Dit gaan iets in jou verrig wat God gaan gebruik om jou 'n wonderlike kind van die Here te maak. Does that make sense to you tonight? Amen. And number five. Stress. You can put money on this. It's profitable. Stress is profit. Dis, ek like die Afrikaanse woord, is nuttig. 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 N-U-T-T-I-G. Nuttig. Dis nuttig. Stress. It's profitable. God can use stress for our good and for His glory. And let me just say this. He always does. He'll use everything you're going through to the goodness and the glory of God. But you've got to work with God. Amen. I want you to see that behind the hand of Paul as he writes this message to the church scattered abroad, the hand of God himself writing to you and I and making a personal point to encourage us when we go through stress. Because when James wrote that, he saw the victory in their tragedy. He saw abundant life through their pain and through their hurt. Amen? That's why he wrote that message. He didn't write them something and thought, well, let me just encourage these poor suckers. They're really pulling amps here. You know, Tony Lackin, so let's just write something that might just encourage. No. He wrote with, if you go read the book of James, beautiful book. And when you read it, you see the heart of James, but you see the heart of God talking to the church. So here's a scripture we're going to hear a few times in the course of this series. And that's James 1 from verse 2 through 4, the paradoxical part. He says, consider it wholly joyful. Volkome blyf. Well, I don't know what joy is in Afrikaans, blydskap. But happiness is also blydskap, ne? So let's stick to the English weergawe here. He says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped. That word enveloped means completely surrounded and enclosed. Whenever you're enveloped completely in a thing or encounter trials of any sort. What kind of trials? Any sort. And if we had to have a testimony evening here, each one of you come to the mic and you say, listen, this is what I'm going through. You know what? Each one of us are going through something different. And each one of us are handling it different. Isn't that the miracle work of God? He knows exactly how you need to handle it and he wants to handle it with you. So it's just considered holy joy for my brother when you're enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. You see, here's your opportunity to shine for Jesus. That's what he's saying. He says, be assured and understand this, that the trial, that stress that you're going through, that difficulty you're going through, and the proving of your faith will bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. It will bring out endurance, steadfast, and patience. What it is it will make you fit for the long journey to growth and victory. Amen. That's what he's saying. He says it will bring out endurance, uitvermoë, standvastigheid, and geduld. Endurance, steadfastness, and patience is going to be drawn out of you. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience, listen to this, have full play. And do a thorough work. Why? So that we may be people that are perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. You know, when I read that scripture, I feel like I'm only starting to serve the Lord today. But it is like that. You see, there's a journey that you and I need to take. And I really believe that we're in a place in the dispensation and time where God is talking to his church, that we can't be slack Christians, slap Christene. We need to start believing the word. We need to start exercising our faith in the truth of the word. Amen. We need to be putting the word together in our hearts. Endurance, steadfastness, and patience. It's going to bring it out in you. Because you see, you have a choice. To not endure, om op te gee, to be steadfast. You can just fall all over the place. You can stop coming to church. You can stop serving the Lord. You can stop reading your Bible because you're dick with God. Hey, let me tell you, that's the most dangerous place you can ever get to in your life. Amen. And patience. I mean, patience is really beautiful. Patience. Oh, what a word. And it's got to have full play to do a thorough work. It's got to work on us. You've got to allow it to work on you so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed. Do you know that God is in the developing business of your life? You probably don't want to hear that, but I'm glad you did tonight. He's busy. You know why? Because he digs you. He smokes you. He loves you. And he wants you to be the best. You know, I always said it. When God saved you, he took you as you are, but he'll never leave you as you were. God wants to improve us. So isn't it wonderful for God, because we live in a world where stress is a part of our life, and that's what we're talking about tonight. And so what God does, he begins to use that which is already affecting your life in one way or the other, and he turns it to the glorious good of himself. Amen? So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at each of these five fascinating facts about James. And I want to close off tonight with a psalm to encourage you as you go into this week. If you've heard nothing tonight, I pray that you heard this out of everything you've heard. That God wants to be with you in your stressful situation. And not only does he want to be with you, he wants to use your stressful situation in your favor. Is that fantastic? Say thank you, Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 19. Listen to how beautiful this is. A righteous man may have many troubles. Hello? Is there anybody here with a bit of troubles tonight? Can I just see your hand? Just a little bit of troubles? Just a little troubles? Yes, look. The rest of you, could you come to the front and lay your hands on me, please? Because I need your anointing. A righteous man may have not a few troubles, what does that say there? There's a many troubles. But the Lord... I love it because I call it the God factor, the but God factor. What you're going through, you can say, but God will get me through this. You see, he says, but the Lord, but God factor, delivers him from how many of those troubles? Amen. Say all again. Exactly. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. In other words, you can say this tonight. Say with me, I can do it. Amen. And you really can. And I don't make light about any level of stress that you might be experiencing tonight. I want to say this to you. God knows about it. And you can really trust him. God's heart is for you. If you could only see it. I see it in my spirit. God is standing there saying, my child, I love you. I want the best for you. I know it might not be like what you're going through right now. But you know what? We're going to use this to the glory of your life, and you're going to come out like refined gold and precious to me. Amen. Come, let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word of encouragement tonight. Although, Lord, we just realize that stress, Father, is a part of our lives. We can do nothing about altering it, because just when we think all things are going well and things are lekker, and then something happens. And we don't always have the answer. But I thank you tonight that you are the answer to every situation in our lives. As we look at these subjects on stress over these next few weeks, let us purposefully do as James encouraged the church that was going through their toughest time in their lives. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you're enveloped, when you're caught up in difficulties and trials. Because we know, Lord, Nehemiah verse 10 says this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we have joy, we have strength. And we thank you for that. Bless your children tonight, Father. Oh God, each one has a portion of stuff that they're going through in their lives tonight. But I'm deeply encouraged to know that you know about it too. And Lord, you want for us to seek you out, to spend time in your presence, to hear your voice, to get your wisdom, to get through situations. I pray that you would speak to your church in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I hope you heard something. Bring somebody else next week so we can listen to number one in the series. And I'm sure it's going to bless you. Got lots to say on the subject. Amen. I trust you were blessed tonight. Amen.